You have your Bible with you this morning, turn to Matthew chapter 6. And we are going to begin this morning a new series called First Things First. And the idea behind this message is just God's call to us as His people, the people of God, keeping and putting God in His rightful place first in our lives. And listen, this is about priority. It's about what really matters to us. We seek after, we make time for what really matters in our life. And oftentimes we get caught up in what's urgent instead of what's important. Every day of your life, there are things that are tugging at you, things that are demanding of you, things that are calling out to you that are urgent, but oftentimes we get caught up in those things instead of really on focusing what is important. And the heart behind this series is to just remind us, as the people of God, the only God deserves first place in our life. And that if we will put Him first in our lives, there is a blessing that follows that. Amen? And listen, this is an invitation. It is not an obligation. It's an invitation. We don't have to do this. We get to do this. We don't have to. We get to. And listen, I believe as a nation, we are at a turning point. And we're at a tipping point. And our nation needs to turn back to God. And first things first is about encouraging us as the people of God to lead the way. And turning back to God. You know, the Bible says, if my people, that's you and me. Come on, look at your neighbor, say, that's you. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, God said, I will hear from heaven. And I will what? I will come and I will heal their land. How many know our nation needs to be healed? And come on, if you're waiting for a politician or a political party or someone to step up and do it, you are mistaken. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can heal our nation. But listen, there's a responsibility that we have as His people. If my people will humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways, seek my face, I'll hear from heaven. There's a responsibility that we have to lead the way. So listen, first things first, calling us back to prioritize God in every area of our life. Every area of our life, your marriage, your home, your heart, the things God's called you to put your hands to, every area saying, God, how do I remind myself about who you are and what you deserve first place in my life? Listen, can I encourage you with something? Regardless of whether we step up to the plate and make God first in our life, He's first. Amen. There's no one above Him. There's no one beyond Him. He is first. This series is about encouraging us as the people of God, reminding us as the people of God, revealing some things to us as the people of God about the blessing that comes when we get that right in our own life. When we realize that God, all the things that you've called me to do, there are all kinds of responsibilities, all kinds of priorities, all kinds of things. In the midst of all of that, I'm putting and keeping you first. Amen? Amen. Listen, I want to encourage you as we go through this series, is it possible that there's a life that God sees, that you are yet to see, that you are yet to experience? And if you would only press in and in a fresh way or in a new way begin to prioritize God, begin to place Him first, begin to put Him first in your life, there's a new place, there's a fresh place, there's a deeper place that God has for you. Is it possible? Is it possible that the best is yet to come for you? Is it possible that you haven't experienced everything that God has for you in this adventure of faith that He's called you to? Is it possible that there's a more vibrant place of serving God with your spouse? Is it possible that there's a greater level of anointing and gifting and operating in your spiritual gifts that God has for you? Is it possible? Come on, maybe I don't want to make it a rhetorical question. Is it possible? Amen. I think it's not only possible, I think it's probable. Because God is limitless. And God's desire and His heart is that we as His people grow from glory to glory, from strength to strength. Come on, even if you're in a good place today, there's more of God. Amen. And so first things first, placing God and keeping Him first and receiving the blessing that comes from that. Listen, He is able to do, God's word says, Ephesians chapter 3, more. It says immeasurably more. Another translation says infinitely more than we could ask, think, or imagine because of His power working in us. It's not just possible, it's probable. There's more that God has for you. There's more in store. as you and as I, as we seek God first and put him first. Amen. Are you there in Matthew chapter 6? Let's pray over our word and over this entire series and just invite the presence of the Lord today and all throughout this series to speak to us. Lord, we thank you for what you've already done in our lives. And we thank you, Lord, that that is your heart, to continue to build us and strengthen us and grow us, to become and to be the people that you've called us to be and to do what you've called us to do, Lord, and experience the things that you've invited us to, God. And Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do through the message this morning, God, I pray, and through all this series, Lord, of just reminding us and revealing some things to us, calling us back to some things, God. And we thank you that as we put and keep you first, God, that you're gonna move mightily in our lives. As you speak to us, God, we receive, Lord. And we pray, God, that there would be a grace for us to begin to put into practice and to apply the things that you speak to us through this series. God, any of us this morning who are here and we're weak or wounded or weary, God, we thank you that you do great things and that your heart today is to strengthen and restore and renew and bring life and bring hope and bring freedom and bring strength to us as your people, your sons and daughters, the people of God, called by your name. And all of God's precious and handsome people said with a shout, amen, 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 amen. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, and it says this. Jesus says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body. Listen, he's describing, as we're reading this, he is describing the culture of the United States of America. And it says, do not worry about your body, what you will wear. Is life not more than these things? Is life not more than food? Is the body not more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, they do not reap, they do not store away, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. He takes care of his creation. And it says, are you not much more valuable than they? And the answer to that is a big amen. Yes, you are. You are valuable to God. You matter to God. You are his creation. You are his son. You are his daughter. He has in his heart a desire to care for you. And it says, can any one of you, by worrying about these things, can any one of you add a single hour to your life? Come on, what's the answer to that question? Absolutely not. And it says, then why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. That is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire. Will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans, people in the world, they run after these things, but your heavenly Father knows that you need him. Seek first his kingdom. Come on, say, seek first. Seek first. And his righteousness and all these things, say everything, will be given to you as well. Listen, let me paraphrase this for you this morning. God is saying, put me first and just watch how I'll take care of you. Put and keep me first and just watch how I'll bless you. Don't get caught up in all the things that the world says that you need to pursue, that you need to do to be deemed as successful. Put me first and watch how all these things, I'm going to take care of you. Listen, this is not about laying down those things. This is about reordering those things. God's not saying, put me first and just see what happens. Maybe you'll have enough. Maybe God's saying, put me first and I'll take care of every need that you ever have. And God is invested in the blessing of his people. And God, the Bible says that God takes delight in the prosperity of his servants. Listen, we can trust God to provide for us because we are his kids. We are his children. And listen, can I just tell you, as a dad of four kids, there is nothing more in my life that brings me good pleasure than seeing my kids prosper. I was telling my son this the other day, you know, I was cheering him on just yesterday, actually, at a baseball tournament over in Kansas City. And I said, son, do you know I'm your biggest fan? And he said, no, Dad, I didn't. I said, yeah. I said, son, I will always be your biggest fan. And I just started a conversation. I said, do you know, son, I think I probably want you to succeed more than you even know that you want yourself to succeed. I care greatly about your future success. And listen, if I, as a earthly father, who is flawed in many ways and selfish in my own right in many ways, have that kind of a heart towards my children, how much more does your heavenly Father towards you? You can trust him. You can trust him. You start to serve God. You start to live for him. You make that decision to begin to press into God and live for him in a new way, a fresh way, in a different way. And the enemy's going to come and say, well, what are people going to think? Or what are you going to do? Or how are you going to make up the difference? And I'm just telling you that God provides for his kids. This is not about laying these things down. This is about reordering things so that God is first. This is about putting him in his rightful place so that we can begin to trust him in a new or a fresh way to provide for us and to meet our needs. It's about priorities. Listen, there are lots of priorities, lots of responsibilities, lots of things in your life, lots of good things. Kids, work, school, jobs, all those things, managing your money, all those things that God's called you to, they're all good things, but not all things are created equal. Not all things are created equal. Everything that God's called you to put your hands to, all those things are not created equal. There's an order of priority, and God is at the top. God is at the top. But how many know in our culture, many people in our culture have gotten this wrong. We've got it upside down. We accommodate, we try to squeeze God into our busy schedules. And we go about all week long, we go about building our own kingdom, and then at the end of the week, maybe we have enough time and energy and strength to slip into church. And I'm telling you that it's the reason that our culture is at a tipping point and a turning point. And the answer is turning back to God and putting him in his rightful place. Seek first his kingdom and all these things will be added. Come on, say it again. Seek first.
Seek first.
Seek first. Come on, say first things first.
First things first.
Mark 18 or 4 verse 18 says this. Jesus is talking about seeds that fell, some on good ground, some on rocky ground, some got burned up by the sun, some of the seeds, remember, sprung up and then got choked out by weeds, and they were saying, Lord, what's this about? Why do you speak in parables? And he told them, he said, I'm telling you these things because I'm entrusting with you the secrets of my kingdom. And he says, the seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life, the lure of wealth, and the desire for other things, so that no fruit is produced. Come on, this is a real struggle. This is a real challenge. This is a real battle. All kinds of things clamoring and demanding for our time and our energy and our affection. And he says, if you will contend, if you will seek after, listen, there's something there. Seek after, seek first. If you will be intentional about saying the things that God's speaking, the things that God's doing, the things that God's done, the things that God's leading me to, I'm going to fiercely protect those things in the midst of all the other things that God's called me to. The next scripture says that those that are able to do that will reap a harvest 30, 60, or even 100-fold. Listen, there's a principle of priority. There's a principle of first. When God gets our first, we get God's best. That's what he's saying. Seek me first, and I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to provide for you. Everything that you think that you have to do, everything that you think you have to gather, everything that you think you have to be about, watch how you can trust me to provide for you for those things. Mark chapter 12, verse 30 says this, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and with all your strength. And it says this is the first commandment. Come on, say first. The first commandment. This is the priority. Loving God with all your mind, all your heart, all your soul, all of your strength. Turn back to the book of Revelation, chapter 2. Come on, we started out there in the first book of the New Testament. I'll just go all the way to the back to the book of Revelation in chapter 2. And early in the book of Revelation, we see that the angel of the Lord is writing letters to the churches, to seven different churches, and he's encouraging them with some things that they have going on, and he's warning them or even reprimanding them about some things that they need to be mindful of or some things that they need to return to. In Revelation chapter 2, early in the chapter, we find the letter of the angel of the Lord to the church at the city of Ephesus. And picking up there in verse 1, it says, to the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands, says this, I know your deeds and your toil and your perseverance, that you cannot tolerate evil men, that you put to the test those who call themselves apostles and they are not, and you found them to be false, and you have perseverance, and you have endured for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. So listen, he's encouraging me with some things. He's saying, you watch out for things that are evil, and you've persevered through some things, and you've worked diligently to further the gospel, but now he's about to shift and remind them about something and even reprimand them about something that is a caution. He's just warning them about something that has slipped in the midst of everything that's going on that's good. in this church and in their lives. He's saying, you've got some good things going on in your life, but I'm warning you about something. And that's where we pick up, and he says, but I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Come on, say first love. Come on, say it again, first love. Therefore, remember from where you have fallen and repent and do the deeds you did at first. Come on, this is dangerous, but say it. Do the deeds. Come on, say it again. Do the deeds that you did at first, or else I am coming to you and I will remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. Listen, another translation says, yet I hold this against you. You've forsaken the love that you had at first. And it says, consider how far you've fallen. And watch, it says, repent and do the things. Do the things that you did at first. And there's three things that it says right there in that scripture. It says, remember, repent, and then it says, do again. And so I'm going to say redo. Three R-E words. Remember, repent, and redo. And you know, we have this thing in our culture that we call, you hear people say this, well, we just fell out of love. And I think it's fascinating that I think there's something really deep and powerful, a principle that we find in this scripture. Again, he's saying there's a lot of good, there's a lot of merit, there's a lot that's praiseworthy in your life, but I'm warning you, I'm cautioning you about something. You've drifted from your first love. Your spiritual passion is waning. You've fallen out of love with me. You're doing the stuff. You're doing the things. You're living the life. You're going to church. You're giving your tithes. You're serving at the door. But I'm reminding you about something. What really matters is the way that you love me. The first and the greatest commandment is to love me with all your mind, heart, soul, and strength. So in the midst of doing all these things that are good for God, he's saying, don't forget that I've called you to put and keep me first in your heart. And I love what he says right here, because in our culture, we say we've fallen out of love. But he says, remember, repent, and he says, begin to do the deeds that you did before. Can I just encourage you with something? I believe that oftentimes when we say that we've fallen out of love, whether it's with God or our spouse or whatever, it's mostly because we have ceased to do the things that we were doing in the season when we were falling in love. That's what he's saying right there. He's saying, go back and do the things. He said, remember, 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 remember. Come on, who can remember where God brought you from? And I'm telling you, when I was in the wake of coming out of all the stuff that I was involved in and all the things that tried to take me out and keep me from God's plan and purpose for my life, right in the wake of just being radically saved, I mean transformed as a young man, I was passionate about Jesus because I was so acquainted with what he had done. Yeah. Remember, he says, remember. Remember what he's done. Remember what he's done. And listen, we need to forget and move on from our past, but sometimes it's a good thing to remember where God's brought you from. And it's the reason that I stand on this front row and I do my little white pastor pogo dance in worship, and it's the reason that I sing with all my heart. It's the reason that you see my hands lifted high in worship, because I have not forgot what God did in my life. He saved me. He forgave me. He changed me. He transformed me. He delivered me from a place of darkness into a place of light. He set my feet on solid ground, and he got me moving towards the plans and the promises that he had for my life. I remember where I was, and I remember where I would be. I'm acquainted with where I would be if not for the grace and the gift of forgiveness in Jesus Christ. And so he says, remember. And he says, repent, which just means turn your mind, turn around, get back after it. If you've drifted, if you've allowed yourself to become consumed with the things and the cares and the troubles of the world, he said, just change. Just go back and begin to do the things that you did during that season that you were loving me. And I want to talk to you this morning about four things that I believe that if we will focus on these four things, if we'll focus on these four things, we will notice and we will see the love, the fire of God that maybe once burned brightly in our heart. And if it has never burned that way for you, if you'll begin to do these things. Listen, I'm telling you, I believe there's a lot of things that could be on this list, but these four things that I believe the Holy Spirit's highlighted to me, if you will, as a believer, as a disciple, as a man of God, as a woman of God, as a person of faith, come on, that's what we're called to be, more than church members and church attenders. We are the people of God, and we are called to live by faith. And there is an adventure of faith that God is leading us to. There's a lifestyle that God is leading us to outside the four walls of this church. And there are four things that I believe if you'll begin to do, he said, go back and redo, do the deeds, do the things that you did early on in your relationship with me. If you'll focus on these four things, I think that you'll see that as you begin to do the deeds, do these things, the fire of God will begin to come alive once again in your heart for the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's four things, and they just all happen to start with the letter P. Come on, you guys know that's how I roll. And it's of God. It really is of God. But God's presence, God's presence, God's promises, God's people, and God's purposes. Four things. God's presence. Again, these are four things that if there's a lot of other things that maybe could be on this list, but I believe there's a lot that goes into these four things. God's presence. Daily seeking him. Daily in prayer and in worship. Saying, God, I need to experience you. You're not a far-off God. You're not a God that is made of wood or stone that sits on my mantle. You are the living God. And your word says that your sheep hear your voice. And your word says that if you seek me, you will find me. And every day, early in the morning, when I rise, I'm going to dedicate myself and determine. I'm going to turn my face towards you. And I'm going to call upon your name. And I'm going to worship you for who you are. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the High and Exalted One, the Keeper of the Stars, the One who created the universe, the One who holds my life in the palm of his hand. Every day first things first, every morning when I rise, I'm going to get in a quiet place and I'm going to seek after your presence. And I'm going to give you thanks and I'm going to give you praise and I'm going to present my day before you and I'm going to thank you for the grace that you're already given me to go into the day that lays before me and to do the things you've called me to do and to be the man of God that you've called me to be, because I cannot do it by my own strength, only by encountering your presence. Psalm 5, verse 3 says, in the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you, and I wait in expectation. Come on, where are my morning people at? Come on, morning people, come on. Where are the people that hate the morning people? There's only two groups. There's only two groups. And I don't know why, somehow, some way, you're married to the other person. It always works out that way, right? Like, it rarely works out where you're married to the person that's the same way. So it's a recent development. I turned 40 last year. This year I turned 41. And I've become a morning person. Like, I'm awake super early. Like, we had an elder, Terry Marshall was right here, sitting on the front row. He serves as an elder. Come on, wave at him, Terry, and everyone say, hey, Terry. He gives a lot of his time. He gives a lot of time to just help us, and it's such a blessing. He and his wife, Kathy, every week they're in our prayer meeting praying for you guys and for your families and for your futures. Terry, I'm becoming like Terry in more than one way. He was recently in a different time zone that was several hours earlier than us, and we had an elders meeting. He said, it's okay, I'll pipe in. And I realized where he's at when we're meeting, it's 3:30 in the morning. And he said, that's okay, I'm an early riser. And I thought, that's not an early riser, that's like not going to sleep. But I've become an early riser. I'm like, well, wait, like wide awake at 5 o'clock, it doesn't matter when I go to bed. And so here's the thing is, I have started every morning, it's just given me more time to be in the presence of God. And listen, whether you're an early riser or whether you are not an early riser, can I just encourage you? It's not about the amount of time that you spend. Now listen, what you need to do, whatever God puts in your heart to do, it's about priority. It's about first things first. And can I tell you, it is impossible to exaggerate the difference it makes in my day and in my life on the days that I start out on my knees before God and on the days that I don't. When I allow myself to get rushed and I allow myself to get hurried and I allow myself to just quickly just begin to think and to go and to do and to just consider all the things that I have laid out before me. And I'm just telling you, people of God, if you'll do these four things, God's presence, God's promises, God's people, and God's purposes, you will see the fire of God come alive in your heart. Early in the morning, you hear my voice. In the morning, oh God, you hear my voice. Listen, in the morning, is God hearing your voice? Are you crying out to him? Are you giving him thanks for what he's already done in your life? Are you thanking him for the strength that you're going to need to make it through the day? Are you laying out your expectations? I lay my request before you and I wait in expectation. God, this is what I have going today. Come on, can I tell you, he already knows. But when we get in his presence and we quiet our soul and we still ourselves and we sit before his presence in the morning, that's when we begin to receive the strength that he wants to give us. To go and do the things, to go and have the difficult conversation, to go and have the meeting, to go and make the sales calls, to go and make the presentation, to go and advance the thing that God's called you to do. Listen, good things, all good things that he's called you to put your hands to. Watch what happens when you begin to prioritize God before you go and get about those other priorities. Amen. Seek me first and all these other things. Seek first my kingdom, all these other things. I'll take care of them. I'll get involved in it. God's presence. God's promises. Listen, this represents the word of God. And can I tell you, more than any other thing, I believe personally, in my humble opinion, more than any other thing in the United States of America, more than any other thing in Lawrence, Kansas, we need to return to the Word of God. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You want to talk about first things first, the first thing that ever happened, God's Word. And later on in the same book of John, John 1, verse 14 says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Listen, you want to get to know Jesus? This book right here, everything in it, the law, the prophets, everything in it, it's all pointing to Jesus. It's a story about Jesus. It's a story about a father who so loved his kids that he was going to send the firstborn of all creation into the earth to redeem, to rescue, to restore, to save, to heal, to forgive, to give life, and not just life, but abundant life. This whole book is pointing to Jesus and the relationship that he desires to have with you. And listen, as our culture drifts and as our culture shifts, even in the church, there are churches that are turning from the Word of God and are no longer building on the inerrancy of the Word of God. They're building on our own ideas and we're building on popular culture, whatever. We just want a kind of a soft, cushy theology and a soft, cushy Jesus that bends and molds and flexes to our own personal ideas about how things ought to be. And listen, if it was working, I might could go along with it, but I'm telling you, when I stand up and I look out over our city and our nation and the way and the condition of our homes and our hearts, it is not working. And first things first is a challenge to the people of God to come back to the things of God. God's presence. God's promises. God's people. And God's purposes. God's word is intended to be the foundation of our life, the foundation of your marriage, the foundation of your home. Jesus is described as the cornerstone. And listen, the cornerstone has to go in first. And if we just kind of start placing the stones that we think are important or that we think are the priorities, and then we kind of try to fit Jesus into whatever it is that we're building, I'm telling you, that is not a foundation that will stand. And here's what I believe the grace of God is to you and to me in our lives and in our homes and in our marriages, is that there is an opportunity and an invitation in this season, because it's what God is speaking to our church, to evaluate some of those things and to realize, to receive, to hear from God about some of the places where we have removed Jesus as the foundational cornerstone of our lives, of our homes, of our marriages, of the way we're raising our children, of the way we're building our churches, of the way we're going about things. And to remember, to repent, and to begin to redo, to revisit, to reinitiate, and say, God, thank you for the reminder. Thank you for calling me to remember. Thank you for the grace to repent, to change, and to turn. And thank you for the strength to begin to once again build my life on the solid rock who is Jesus Christ. Listen, when we get up in the morning and we pursue God's presence and we pursue God's promises, it is no guarantee that your day is going to go smoothly, but it is a guarantee that you will have the grace and the strength and the peace and the power to navigate any situation, any circumstance that you might come up against. Amen. God's presence, God's promises. Come on, people. These are foundational elements of the life of a believer. But I'm compelled as your pastor to just challenge us and charge us to return to them. The results that we're getting in our lives and in our culture are largely because we have failed to place and keep God first. And he's calling us back. Come on, first things first. First things first. Come on, say it this morning. First things first. First things first. When God gets our first, we get God's best. Listen, everything in God's word is intended to bring blessing. Again, this is not an obligation to be in God's word. It's an invitation. Everything in God's word is desired to either protect, direct, or provide for you and me and our lives. Everything about it. This is not a book of rules and legalism. This is a book of life. This is a book of truth. This is the way to live a blessed and prospered life. It's God's GPS. It's a lighthouse that is standing out saying, this is the way to live. Come and follow me and watch how I will bless you. And I'm reminded of a story that I heard one time about a lighthouse. And there were two ships. There were two lights that were in the ocean. And there was one of the captains saw that the light that was ahead of the ship was in the course, the trajectory of his ship. And he went to one of the crewmen there, and he said, send out a signal. He said, use our light and send out a signal and tell that other vessel to turn 3 degrees to the north. And so the crewman sent out a signal and said, this is the USS whatever. And he said, we are sending out a signal for you to turn 3 degrees. And they waited, and they received a response, and the response was, you turn 3 degrees. And the admiral said, no, you tell him that this is the USS whatever, and you tell him, turn 3 degrees to the north. And they sent the signal out, and they waited for the response, and they got the response back, and it, once again, it came through, and it said, no, you turn 3 degrees. And he said, listen, he said, you tell him that he is going to turn 3 degrees, and you tell him that I am that Vice Admiral so-and-so of the USS whatever, and he said, you tell him to turn 3 degrees. And they waited for the response, And it came back and it said, sorry, you turn 3 degrees and tell the Vice Admiral that this is the lighthouse operator. Listen, the lighthouse doesn't move. In a world where there are waves and there are seas and there are storms and our life seems like we are being tossed about and moved about, the lighthouse, which is God's word, never moves. And that's a picture, that story I just told you is a picture of life. We're telling God, God, we know your word says this, but we'd be a little bit more comfortable if you'd just get comfortable with the way we want to live like this. And I'm telling you, God sent him back and said, you could try it that way, but you better be careful because you might find yourself crashed on the rocks. Everything in God's word is intended to protect, direct, and provide for you and me as his people. Third, the people of God. Listen, you were created for community, and you were created to become a part of the church of Jesus Christ. And Jesus paid a high price to build his church. He asked Peter, he said, who do men say that I am? And they said, some say Elijah, some say a good man. He said, well, who do you say that I am? And listen, this is the question that is reverberating throughout eternity, and it's the most important question that you and I personally will ever answer for ourselves. Who do we say that Jesus is? Is he a good religious figure? Or is he our Lord? Is he our Savior? Is he our Master? Is he our Father? Is he our friend? Is he first in our lives? And of course, Peter answered well, and he said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, you've answered well, Peter. Flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And he said, on this rock I will build my church. And listen, the rock was not Peter. That was just a figure of speech. The rock was the revelation about who Jesus was. The rock is the revelation that Jesus was the Christ and the Son of the living God. Christ, the original word for Christ means anointed one. It wasn't Jesus' last name, it was his title. His last name wasn't Christ, it was the title that was bestowed upon him because of who he was. And Christ was the anointed one and Son of God. Listen, there are two powerful truths. This is the rock on which the church is being built. The Christ, the anointed one, and the Son of the living God. And listen, what God is doing in your life and building in your life is still going to be built on those two principles, anointing and identity. The anointing of God and the identity of who you are. And you are a living stone in the church of Jesus Christ. You are a son and a daughter in the house that God is building called the church of Jesus Christ. Listen, we are so much more than church members or church attenders. And our nation needs us to quit going to church and for us to start being the church. And that's the call of God for every one of you, not just pastors, not just deacons, not just elders, not just Sunday school teachers. That's the call for every one of you and I as believers, is to be the church. We are called to be part of something that's bigger and beyond ourselves. And there's a part that we are called to play. God's presence, God's promises, God's people. And I see Boniface over here, and I love that this stuck with him, but there was a message that I brought a couple years ago, and one of the things I just said is, come on, people, we need to read our Bibles and go to church. And oftentimes when I see him, he said, that still sticks with me, you know, just keep telling people, read your Bibles and go to church. And can I tell you, there's something, I think about our kids, and I think about the culture that they're being raised in, and all the expectations and the demands and everything, and I just think about, are they going to understand, are we going to model to them what it looks like to be highly committed to be a servant in the house of God? We must undo and we must come against this consumer Christianity that comes to church to watch the show and to hopefully get fed, and then we go about our life and we compartmentalize Jesus to one, maybe one day a week, maybe 2 days a week. You are called to be part of the body of Christ. You are called as the people of God to live for God and to make a difference, and we are better together. And listen, the enemy loves to divide. The enemy is the accuser of the brethren. The enemy comes and he is always interfering with relationships. And anywhere where there is power, anywhere where there is potential, anywhere in God's kingdom where there is promise, you better expect that the enemy is going to show up and he's going to resist. Introducing relational strife, introducing misunderstandings, introducing petty offenses, in an attempt to divide people and to isolate people. And listen, you cannot afford to become divided or isolated. You need people in your life. Hebrews 10:25 says this, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more, even more as you see the day of the Lord approaching. God's presence, God's promises, God's people, and God's purposes. God's purposes. Listen, did you know that you were saved for so much more than just to get to heaven? There's a kingdom purpose that God has for you. There's a calling of God upon your life. Listen, the church will continue to have marginal results if we continue to just look to a small group of people to do the ministry. There's a purpose that God's called you to. There's a calling, there's a grace, there's a gift, there's an anointing that God wants to place upon your life as an ambassador of the kingdom of God, on your life as the ones who are called to be the salt and the light, the ones who are the hands and the feet of Jesus in our community. The enemy also there, anywhere where there's power, there's potential, there's promise, you better expect the enemy to come and interfere. And he comes and he says, who are you to think that you could make a difference for God? Who are you to think that you could serve in that church if they only knew who you were, where you've been, what you've done, what you've thought? And I'm just telling you, it is a lie from the enemy. It is only by grace we stand, and we are better together. And there's a calling and there's a purpose, and I'm grateful that you're on your way to heaven, but I'm telling you, when you get to heaven, I don't want you to look back and realize that you missed something that God was calling you to that would have made a difference in the lives of his people. Come on, what are the four things? What are the four things? Come on, say them out loud. Say them to yourself. God's presence, God's promises, God's people, God's purposes. God's presence, God's promises, his word, God's people, and God's purposes. Pastor T, are you saying that I need to focus on those things? Yes, I am. Is it possible that there's a life way beyond what you've ever even asked, thought, or imagined that God has in store for you if in this season you will make and put Him first in your life like you never have before? I'm just telling you, I think it's not only possible, I think it's probable. I think it's exactly what God is trying to get you to. But we have to seek Him first. And we have to realize it's our responsibility to determine what our priorities are. It's our responsibility to realize in the midst of all the other things that God's called us to and that God's invited us to, that the ultimate call is to place and keep Him first. Come on, people of God, would you stand to your feet this morning and let's prepare to worship and dismiss. And but I wrote down three groups of people that I believe the Lord wants to minister to and give you an opportunity to respond to what He's speaking to you. And right there before I minister to these three groups of people, just ask yourself this morning, Lord, what are you speaking to me? Lord, what are you revealing to me? What are you reminding me of this morning? But the first group of people is you've realized this morning that your heart has drifted. God did save you. God did deliver you. But the cares of this world and the troubles of this world or the deceitfulness after riches or building your own empire, building your own things, that those things have come and they've taken away the time, the energy, the focus, the affection that God deserves. You've drifted from God. You've drifted from your first love. There's some good things about your life, just like that church at Ephesus that God could recognize that you're about and that you're up to. But your heart is no longer on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ. Your heart is no longer consumed with living for Him and knowing Him and becoming everything that God's called and made possible for you to be. And listen, if that's you, I just want to give you the same invitation that the angel of the Lord gave to the church at Ephesus, and that's just to remember and repent and respond. If that's you this morning, you realize your heart has just drifted from God. It once was on fire, but it's not this morning. I want to ask you to just lift your hands and just say, that's me. That's me. Thank you, Lord. Hands going up all over the room because it's such a common thing for us to get swept into the cares of the world and to lose our focus and to lose our first love. And so, Lord, we thank you for this group of people who are recognizing this and who are doing what you would have them to do to just repent and respond. We thank you that you are rich in mercy and grace, God, and that you would come once again this morning, that you would once again light the fire in our hearts to burn brightly for you first and foremost. The next group of people that I believe the Lord highlighted to minister to were people that have become disconnected from God's people. And obviously you're here this morning, but you know, you can be somewhere and really not be there. You could be somewhere, but really not be present and fully engaged. And so, if you're here this morning, I know there's something that you're connected to God's people, but I think you know what I'm talking about. Just some kind of a disengagement, some kind of a judgment that the enemy has tried to bring over you to think that you are ineffective or can't be fully utilized by God in the local church. And if that's you this morning, I just want you to respond and say, that's me. There was an offense, there was a misunderstanding, there was a disagreement, there was something that happened that just has caused me to become disconnected from the family of God and the people of God. If that's you, come on, just lift your hands towards God. You'll say, Lord, that's me. And Lord, I thank you for these precious people and that you want to heal them today. You want to restore them today. You want to bring forgiveness today. You want to grace them to forgive those that maybe violated them or abused them, Lord. You want to heal and restore their connection to the people of God today. In Jesus' name. Now, if you realize this morning that there's something God's called you to, there's something that He's called you to put your hands to, there's a purpose, there's a calling, there's a grace, there's a gift, there's an area of servanthood that God's called you to, and you've held back from answering that call. You've been busy with other things, and you've held back from showing up and stepping up to serve and make a difference. And whatever it is that God's called you to, and this morning, God's reminding you about some things that He's spoken over your life. God's reminding about some passions that He's put in your heart. If that's you this morning, I want you to just respond. Just say, that's me, Pastor T. There's a dream that God's put in my heart. There's a grace and a gift that God's put upon my life. and I'm responding, I'm answering the call today, whatever it is that the enemy's used to separate me from that or cause me to lay it down today, I'm just repenting and I'm saying, God, I'm sorry that I allowed that thing, whatever it is, to be bigger than the commitment to serve you and make a difference in the lives of your people. Thank you, Lord. So, Lord, thank you for bringing grace this morning to whatever it is that needs to be healed or restored, God. Thank you, Lord, that we bind the spirit of inferiority and insignificance that comes against people in Jesus' mighty name. We thank you that every person, there's a gift and a grace that you've called for them to bring to the body of Christ. And lastly, the most important thing that we do before we worship and close is give you an opportunity to respond to the free gift of salvation, who is Jesus Christ. And maybe you've drifted, you really have drifted, you're a prodigal son or a daughter that you once lived for God, you once knew him and served him, and you've drifted. But you're here today, and I'm telling you, if you're here today and that's you, you are not here by accident. Your heavenly Father is calling you home. Or maybe you're here this morning and you've never given your life to Jesus Christ. You've never responded. You've never experienced what it feels like. And can I tell you, it is an amazing feeling to feel the weight and the burden of guilt and shame and sin be lifted up off of your shoulders through the free gift of salvation that comes through Jesus Christ. If you fit in either one of those camps this morning, come on, quickly respond and just say, that's me. Lift your hand high towards heaven. Lift your hand high towards heaven and say, that's me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Come on, one more moment. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for these precious people. Thank you, God, for these hands being lifted towards heaven. And listen, your hand lifted towards heaven represents what's happening in your heart. Your heart turning towards God. Your heart being healed and restored and rescued. And Lord, we thank you for what this represents. Lives changing and turning, becoming born again, becoming new and fresh and whole and healed and clean and washed and restored. That's what he's doing in your life right now. That's what he's doing in your life right now by grace and through faith as you're responding to God. And come on, at Rev City Church, we're the family of God, so we pray this together every Sunday. And it's our way of supporting and showing you and beginning to extend our lives towards you to say, come on, come with us and allow us to help you to grow in God and get moving forward to his purposes. And it's also a good reminder for us that we never graduate from grace. That we need Jesus just as much today as we did when we were as lost as a goose. And so come on, church, we pray this together, and we pray it loud, and we pray it clearly. Let's pray this. Come on, repeat after me. Father, in Jesus' name, I recognize my need for a Savior. And I thank you for sending Jesus to pay the price I could not pay, to make a way that I might have a new life and a fresh start. I give you that life. I give you my trust. And I'll never be the same. Come on, I'll never be the same. Come on, one more time, say it. I'll never be the same. And come on, that's good news. So put your hands together for the Lord and what he's done this morning.